You're listening to the Evangel Wichita podcast, recorded live each week at Evangel Assembly of God in Wichita, Kansas. Download each week for fresh, relevant messages from the preaching team. Open your minds. Here we go.
If you have a Bible this morning, take it and turn to the book of Acts chapter 9. The book of Acts chapter 9. If you would please, our ushers have some outlines of this morning for the message. If you didn't get one as you came in, as they come down the aisle, just make sure you slip up your hand and get one from them. It's a great way to keep the major points of the message so that you can remember them, or to put your grocery list on the back, whichever is you need to do. But there are outlines there and available to you. Pastor Mark and his family are on vacation this week. Alexis, our granddaughter, played in a large basketball tournament in Atlanta, Georgia. There were six different brackets, I think, in the tournament, large tournament. In the bracket their team was in, there were 38 teams in that bracket alone, and there were, I think, six brackets. So you can see how large this tournament was. They came in sixth in their tournament yesterday afternoon. They played their final game, and they came in sixth out of the 38 teams, and I think Alexis scored, 16 points in the last game. Had a good game. So you can tell this grandfather is proud of his granddaughter and what she can do. And we're thankful that they could be there and be away today. Pastor Mark has been talking to us over the past few weeks about some of the struggles that we have as Christians in our lives, in our growth in Christ, at salvation. Yes, we are forgiven and God gives to us a new nature, but we must grow in Christ. We call that process sanctification, becoming more like Christ every day. And God begins dealing with us after we've accepted Him as our Savior in many of the areas of our life. Pastor Mark has called these issues baggage, and the very issues that he's been dealing with, like fear and worry and forgiveness and bitterness and guilt, are things that the devil tempts us with, but God wants to give us the victory over, set us free from, and help us to live above these things. And he wants us to let go, as Pastor Marcus described it, of the baggage that we have been carrying around. God wants to remove it from our lives. So this morning, in concluding his series on baggage check, I want to deal with one last very real piece of baggage. This piece of baggage I can best describe to you this morning as a lie. Now hear that word with me. I'm describing this piece of baggage this morning as a lie. A lie that the devil speaks to our hearts, that we are somehow unworthy, not good enough for God's love or blessing. A lie that the devil speaks to our hearts, that we are somehow unloved by God and other people. They just don't care about me. God doesn't care about me. Or it's the lie the devil speaks to our heart that we're unaccepted, that somehow we are less than others in the kingdom of God, that somehow I am a second-class citizen. People who carry this kind of baggage in their lives will say things like, well, God won't do that for me. God doesn't care about that in my life. God doesn't care about the things I'm facing. I know He can do anything and does other things, but He just doesn't care about the things I'm facing. They might say something like, well, for Pastor Mark, they will answer his prayers, but God doesn't seem to hear my prayers. Or, I'm really not that important to God. I'm not like some of the other people in the kingdom of God. I'm just not as important as they are to God or to others. Now, psychologists and psychiatrists, they give that baggage a name. They call it a poor self-image, or they say that it comes from the failures and the disappointments in our lives, or maybe it comes from being told by a spouse or parents or friends that we are worthless or no good or we're a failure, or maybe it comes from comparing ourselves with others and thinking that we're not as good looking or successful or talented or whatever it might be is someone else, or it comes from just simply telling ourselves over and over that we are unloved or we are unworthy or we're not good enough until we believe it. Now, there are some of you here today, even some of you who know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, who have a poor self-image. You feel unworthy. You feel unloved. You feel unaccepted. You feel like you're just not good enough for God or for other people. And you think of yourself even in the kingdom of God as a second-class citizen. Remember I said to you at the beginning that this baggage is a lie? It's a lie of the enemies to our heart and to our soul. I want to simply this morning tell you a story and write a very simple, tremendous truth on your heart. I want you to read this story. It's found in Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Follow along. You will recognize it as I read it to you. Meanwhile, Saul, Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say unto him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what to do." The men traveling with Saul, verse 7, stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Now in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. "Ananias?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. And the Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." Verse 13. "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all those who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias, verse 17, went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Now, most all of you recognize this portion of Acts chapter 9 as the story of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who became the great Apostle Paul. One of the greatest Christians of the New Testament record. Now, many scholars will tell you that probably he wasn't much to look at. He'd been whipped and beaten, stoned and shipwrecked, and he complained about having a continual thorn in his flesh. He even called himself the chief of sinners. But the Apostle Paul, everywhere he went, planted churches like Johnny Appleseed planted apple trees. What was it that so inspired this man from Tarsus to become the great apostle that he was, the Apostle Paul? What motivated his life? What made the difference and turned his life around? I believe the answer is found in the story we read from chapter 9 of Acts. On the road to Damascus, he was on his way there to persecute and to threaten Christians. But he was knocked down by a bright light. I believe that light would make the sun look like a 40-watt bulb. And out of that light came a voice that called his name twice, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul, I believe, and under the light and under the voice, the apostle or Saul of Tarsus is on the ground in somewhat of a protected position. He says, who are you, Lord? And then the answer came, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And I believe Saul pulled into a little bit of a tighter fetal position, waiting for the axe to fall. Instead, in that moment, Jesus called Saul to follow him, and Saul was never the same. What was it that so impacted? What was it that so changed the antagonist Saul into the apostle Paul? What was it in that short encounter on the road that so touched him? Was it the light? Was it the voice? My friend, I believe it was the grace. I believe it was the grace. The unmerited love and favor, the unconditional love of God, the power of God's acceptance that reached out to Saul in that moment that so arrested him. See, at that point, Saul had been an enemy of Christ. He had become an arrogant bounty hunter of the people in the way of those that would be called Christians. He had single-handedly tried to eradicate, to wipe out, to stop this group. He said, Jesus is not the Messiah. That's not true, he said. Jesus was crucified. He's dead. He is not alive. I don't believe that at all. And he made it his mission to stop Christians everywhere he could find them. But there was something inside of this man, Saul from Tarsus, that was beginning to get under his skin. It was the faith of these Christians. Their courage, their confidence, their commitment, their poise, their serenity. It's something he had never seen before. He saw it in a man named Stephen. You see, he was there when Stephen was stoned. He held the cloaks of the men who cast the stones when he was executed. And he saw that strong, peaceful look on his face. No fear, no cries. He even said, Father, don't hold this against them. Father, forgive them. And Saul couldn't forget the incredible, gracious, loving forgiveness. And now, only a short time later, he's on the Damascus Road trying to stop Christians, outwardly breathing threats against them. But inside, he says, what is it about these people? He said, Lord, forgive them as the stones were hitting him. Lord, how could he act that way? How could he do it? And then it happened to him. The risen Lord appeared to Saul of Tarsus and said, Saul, I know all about you. Saul, I know what you have been doing. Saul, I know that you have tried to hurt me. You have done everything you can to stop my message from going forth. But Saul, I love you. Saul, I forgive you. Saul, I want you to be on my side. And in that moment, Saul of Tarsus was stopped by the love of the risen Savior. And the power of his acceptance. Yes, I said to you, and hear that word, the acceptance of Jesus Christ of him. Paul Tillich, a noted Bible scholar some years ago, said this about salvation. He said, salvation is simply accepting the fact that God accepts me. Salvation is simply accepting the fact that God accepts me. We don't win His love. We don't earn His love. We don't deserve His love. We just come to accept it, for God so loved me, the world, and His love is ours. I believe that's what happened to Saul on the Damascus Road. Saul found acceptance. Now let me just say that. I want that word to sink into you. Saul found acceptance. He found love, and he wanted to share that grace, that love, that acceptance with the world. You see, acceptance is a wonderful life-giving experience. Not feeling accepted is devastating, stressful, and deadly. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the gospel can be summed up in three words. The gospel can be summed up in three words. You are accepted. You are loved. Or you are forgiven. Pick your three. You are accepted. You are loved. You are forgiven. And the realization of that fact literally turned the life of Saul of Tarsus around and made him the man he became, the Apostle Paul. And if you can grasp this morning, if I can write a truth on your heart today, it can change your life also. This morning, I want you to realize that you're loved and accepted by God. I want you to realize that you are loved and accepted by God this morning, even if you're on the wrong road and you feel lost. You are loved and accepted by God even if you're on the wrong road and you feel lost. Saul of Tarsus was on the wrong road. He was on a road that he said, I want to eradicate Christians. I want to do everything I can to destroy them. He was devoted. He was on a road devoted to stopping the message of Christ. But on that road, he encountered the light. On that wrong road, he encountered the love of Jesus Christ, and he discovered that Jesus Christ was looking for him, and it changed his life. That love, that acceptance of a man that was doing what he was doing, that forgiveness changed his life. The love and acceptance of Jesus Christ. Remember a short man by the name of Zacchaeus who lived in the city of Jericho. Oh, Zacchaeus was a tax collector for the Romans. He was on the wrong road. He betrayed his own people and he was cheating the Jews so that he could get rich. His whole life was dishonesty, fraud, and theft. If any man was on the wrong road, Zacchaeus was on the wrong road. But one day as he was up in a tree, because he was a man of short stature, so that he could see the well-known prophet Jesus coming by, looking down out of the tree, there was Jesus looking up at Zacchaeus. And he said, Zacchaeus, I've come to Jericho today to meet with you. I want to come to your house for dinner. Come down, Zacchaeus. I want to dine with you. To the consternation of some of the religious leaders and the Jewish people, scribes and the Pharisees, how could he eat with a publican and a sinner? How could he go to a man's house who was a traitor to the Jews? But you see, it was that love and acceptance that God offered to Zacchaeus that changed his life. When he encountered that love and acceptance and received the forgiveness, it turned him around and he gave back to everyone he had cheated fourfold. He found something more important than money. The love and acceptance of Jesus Christ. He found it even when he was on the wrong road and he felt so lost. You talk about people on the wrong road. There's a prophet in the Old Testament by the name of Jonah. Remember him? God said, Jonah, turn right and go to Nineveh and preach there, and I'll give revival to that city. Jonah said, no, Lord, I don't want them to be saved. And Jonah turned left and went to Tarshish. You know the story. He was on the wrong road, running from God and God's will. But in the midst of the sea, in the midst of a storm, God had prepared a large fish that swallowed Jonah. And in the belly of that fish, Jonah found God waiting for him. You see, Jonah discovered the love and the acceptance and the forgiveness of God in the belly of a great fish in the middle of the sea on the wrong road. When he was lost, he found God waiting for him there. And that encounter turned Jonah around. That love and acceptance that gave Jonah a second chance changed his life. The love and acceptance of God gave Jonah a whole new life. Now maybe you're here today and you're on the wrong road. Maybe you're here today and you feel lost. You don't know what you believe. Maybe you're here today and you've been blinded by the world and headed the wrong way. Maybe you're running from what you know. Let me tell you something. At some point on this road you're running on, it may be a curve, it may be a bend in the road, but you'll find Jesus standing there, looking out and calling to you. I know where you're at. I know what you've done. I know you. I love you. I accept you. Come to me. And the love and acceptance of Jesus Christ is reaching out to you even when you feel so lost. I want you to realize this morning that you are loved and accepted by God even when you failed. Now, sometimes the devil will tell us that our failures are final and we're nothing more than a failure, but I want you to know you're loved and accepted by God even when you failed and you feel so unworthy. Remember the story of the prodigal son? The young man asked, said, Dad, give me my inheritance. I'm out of here. I'm going to enjoy life. And he left home and squandered all of his money in riotous living. And when his money ran out, so did his friends. And he ended up feeding the pigs. You know the story well. He had nothing to eat but what the pigs ate. And he finally came to his senses and said, the servants, the slaves in my father's house have it better than I do. I'm going to go back and say to my father, I'm not worthy to be a son anymore, but can I be one of your servants and one of your slaves? And the boy starts home. And you know the story. The father saw him coming. And when he saw his son returning, the father ran to him, flung his arms around his neck. He said, kill the fatted calf. We're throwing a party. My son was gone, but now he's home. Oh, Dad, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm not worthy to be your son. Just let me be a slave, a servant of yours. I'm so unworthy. No, son, you're my son. You are home. And that love and acceptance of that father for that son changed his life forever. And Jesus used it as a picture of the love and acceptance of our Father for us. For you see, even when we have failed, even when we feel so unworthy, Jesus says, son, son, I love you. Come home. And he waits for every one of us. Remember Peter? Not take examples. I'm just trying to give you Peter, the guy that said, I would never fail you, Lord. I would go to death rather than deny you. And Jesus said, okay, Peter. And you know the story in the courtyard of the high priest that day as Jesus is on trial before a little young servant girl and others. Peter denied Jesus three times. Don't know him. Never been with him. And with a swear, he denied the Lord. The rooster crowed. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said. And Peter realized in that second that he had failed miserably. He had done the very thing that he said he would never do. And he looked up. And the Bible in the gospel says that Jesus looked up from the trial. And the eyes of Jesus and Peter met. And in that look, Jesus said, Peter, I love you. I accept you. I know you. Peter, I love you. And the Bible says Peter went out and cried great tears of repentance. Why? Because even in his failure, Jesus loved him and accepted him. And Peter knew that Jesus was there. And Peter became that great apostle of the New Testament who stood on the day of Pentecost and preached, and 3,000 people were saved. Because even in his failure, when he felt the most unworthy, Jesus was there and said, I love you and I accept you. Maybe you're sitting here in this place this morning and you failed. Maybe you failed like the prodigal or Peter and you feel unworthy. And the devil reminds you regularly of how unworthy you are of God's love. Maybe it was a stupid failure, or maybe it was just a bad choice. Or maybe you just succumbed to a temptation, or maybe you did, like Peter, something you said you would never do. Or maybe it's a secret failure that in the recesses of your heart and mind is there and no one else knows about it. But you would admit this morning, Pastor, I don't deserve God's love and acceptance because I failed so miserably. You know what I'd say to you? Look up. Look up, look right there, and you'll see the eyes of Jesus looking at you. And in that look, he's saying, I love you. I love you. I accept you. I forgive you. And in that love and in that acceptance, it can change your life. Maybe this morning, I want you to realize that you are loved and accepted. You are loved and accepted by God, even when everyone else writes you off and you feel hopeless. I'm now talking to people who feel like it's almost too late for you. Pastor, I've heard sermons many times, but I've squandered my opportunities. People tell me I've just gone too far. I'm never going to change. And I'm facing some of the consequences for those decisions I've made. And Pastor, I'm glad other people are hearing this, but my situation's hopeless. My situation's hopeless. And the devil will tell you it's hopeless. The devil will tell you you will not change. It's too late. The consequences are yours, and it's final. I remind you of a woman. Who was caught in the very act of adultery. The religious leaders caught her in the very act of sin, adultery. And adultery is a capital offense. Its payment is stoning, death. They brought her to be stoned. And as they were doing so, they stopped by Jesus and said, yeah, this woman was caught in the act of adultery and we're taking her to be stoned. What do you say, prophet? What do you say, teacher, about this woman? Remember the story? Jesus bent down, wrote in the sand for a few moments. And then he said, you who were without sin, cast the first stone. The Bible says from the oldest to the youngest they left. Then he looked up again at the woman and said, woman, where are your accusers? She says, Rabbi, they're gone. They're gone. And then Jesus made this statement to her. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And on the very way to her execution, on the very way for punishment to be carried out for the sin they had caught her in the very act of doing, Jesus reached to her and gave to her his love and his acceptance and said, I don't condemn you. I forgive you. I love you. I accept you. Go and sin no more. And that love and acceptance in that moment changed her life. Or think about that day Christ was crucified and the two men crucified on either side of him. Remember, they were being crucified. They'd been tried in a court of law and condemned to death for the crimes that they had committed. They were there, that their lives were over. It was the end. They were being crucified. They'd run out of chances. It was hopeless for them. But at the very last moment before one of them died, he lifted his head, turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And in that moment, Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And that very day, that thief stood with Jesus in where we call heaven, or where the presence of the Lord was. And at the last moment of that thief's death, just before he died for sins that he had committed, crimes that were his, he reached out and discovered the love and acceptance of God. And it changed his eternity. Maybe you're at a place where everyone else has written you off and people would say there's no more hope for you. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus stands ready to meet you. For he was there when people write you off, and when the devil tells you it's hopeless, he says, I love you and I care about you. Let me conclude. I propose to you today, every one of you, I propose to you today that God loves you and accepts you, stands ready to forgive you. He's already forgiven you right now, right now, right now, this moment. God loves you right now, right here. And if you will embrace this fact and come to realize who you are in Christ, it will change your life. I end with this, the great musical, Les Miserables, based on that book by Victor Hugo. The book opens with Jean Valjean in prison, doing hard time. He's been in prison for 19 years for stealing a loaf of bread for his family. Finally, he is released and finds himself back out in society, but an outcast. He's treated with contempt by society everywhere he goes. He's rejected. Only the saintly Bishop of Dinesse treats him kindly. But Valjean, desperate, embittered, repays the kindness of the bishop by stealing his silver from his home, and runs. He is caught by the constable, the authorities, and brought back before the bishop. Valjean expects the worst. While, after all, he spent 19 years in prison for stealing a loaf of bread, what will they do to him for stealing the silver of the bishop? But to his surprise, the bishop covers for him. Oh, officers, there's been a great mistake here, the bishop said. Jean here, he did not steal that silver from me. I gave it to him. And oh, John, you forgot the two silver candlesticks I gave you also. Here, you didn't take those with you when you left. And if you've seen the musical or read the book, that love, that acceptance, that forgiveness changed Valjean forever. And the rest of the story is about the change in his life. Just as the Apostle Paul, just as Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road, where was it that the bishop got this kind of love and acceptance and forgiveness? He got it from Jesus. He had received it himself. And that is the message of the gospel this morning. God loves you. You are not unloved. God accepts you. You are not unaccepted. You are not an out. God accepts you and he forgives you. And Jean Valjean was accepted before he was perfect, and that's exactly what God does for us today. I know you. I saw you this week. I know your failures, your sins, your weaknesses, your shortcomings. I know all about your inadequacies, but I love you. I accept you and I want you on my team, a part of my family. I said to you a moment ago, the gospel is summed up in three words. You are loved. You are accepted. Do you feel unwanted this morning? Unworthy? Of no account? I'd like to declare to you this morning that my Father loves you. He accepts you. Jesus loves you and accepts you. Even in your imperfections, before you get it right, that love, that acceptance, that grace, that's my God, that's my Jesus. Do you feel today alone, that no one else cares about you? Cut off. God doesn't care. People don't care about me. Well, I want to tell you something. My Jesus cares about you. He's promised never to leave you, fail you, or forsake you, and he'll be with you there in the good and the bad. That's his love. That's his acceptance. That's his grace. That's my God. Do you feel inadequate, overwhelmed, second-class citizen? I can't do it. Then I declare to you, my Father is ready to walk with you, to help you. Take his hand and allow his Holy Spirit to embrace you. If you can embrace the love, the acceptance, the forgiveness, the grace, it will change your life. Some of you in this room are on a road. No, the road does not lead to Damascus, but it's like the Damascus road. And you're seeing a light, even right now. Oh, it's not a physical light. It is a spiritual light that is coming to you, and you are hearing a voice. And no, it is not a literal voice, but it is the voice of the Holy Spirit saying to you right now, where you are, I love you. I accept you. I forgive you. I want you to be a part of my family. I love you. You are not unloved. I accept you. I accept you. I forgive you. Come. Let me put my arms around you. Let me put my robe on you. Son, I use that word a lot, but Jesus used it to me. Son, come here. I love you. I accept you. I forgive you. That is the God I serve. And that's what I want you to know. You are loved. You are accepted. And that truth can change your life. Will you bow your heads with me, please?
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. For more great teaching, check us out on the web at evangelwichita.org or connect with us at facebook.com/evangelwichita.